The Army's Chinooks are used in operations all over the world, delivering everything from assistance for combat missions to humanitarian aid for earthquake victims. Chief Warrant Officer Mark Morgan has compiled a website about the helicopters he loves to fly. He usually does maintenance on Fort Wainwright's Chinooks, but he recently got out of the hangar and flew to the North Slope to help scientists excavate a fossil. As he tells KUAC's Libby Casey, he's fascinated by the helicopter's contributions.
A lot of people are not aware of the history of the airframe they're flying. I started a little project about 10 years ago that has blossomed into this rather large website. But my goal was to just record each and every tail number of every Chinook ever produced out there in its conversion to D's and E's, and now we have the F model in production. And the more I learned, the more I got fascinated with some of the history on the aircraft, its combat activities in Vietnam and how many rounds it took and whether or not it ever crashed before. And it's grown into a huge project where I've recorded all 735 tail numbers produced, all 442 D models that were manufactured, the 26 E models, and now the two F models. If you're a history or an aviation buff, to read about a specific tail number's history from the day it was manufactured to present day, it's a fascinating thing.
Is that hard information to find? Is it on record in the military, or do you use civilian publications?
I get almost all of it from word of mouth, from people who flew the aircraft. They told me where they flew it, what year they flew it, what activities it was involved in. And there's another website out there called the Vertical Helicopter Pilots Association. They have a lot of information available from the Vietnam up until 1975. So I can dig back into some very ancient history, and I can cross-reference it with its current tail number, and I can slice a whole story together. This aircraft is over 42 years old, and to dig that much history times 735 airframes, it was a tremendous amount of work, but it was also very satisfying to put this kind of information together because nobody else had it in one spot. You could get a piece here, you could get a piece there, but I managed to roll most of it all up into one web-based document for the entire world to read.
You must have met so many interesting people and had so many interesting conversations about their stories, about the helicopters, and especially if they were used in combat or if they were used for missions that were daunting or really exciting.
Oh, yeah. In fact, one of the aircraft we have with us today, 176, was previously a B model, and it served as the NASA 737 test bed for a number of years.
What does that mean?
The NASA 737 was the tail number of the aircraft, and they had it at Edwards. They put a fly-by-wire control system in there, and it was used to develop a lot of the space-age technology for the current fighter and space shuttle systems. It's a leading-edge technology back in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s before the Army reacquired it and manufactured it into a D model. So that aircraft alone led to a lot of the state-of-the-art improvements that we have in the military and civil sectors today.
When something is upgraded from a B model to a D model, is the structure inherently the same? Does the aircraft really still live on?
The aircraft itself actually does live on. There's a saying when the D model came out that only the silhouette remained the same. The basic skin itself from the exterior is the same. Most of that sheet metal is like I say, on average 25, but could be as old as 42 years old. And when they took the previous A's, B's, and C's and then sent them back to the Boeing facility in Philadelphia, they stripped out everything that was inside the aircraft, put a new floor in, but everything else pretty much remained the same as far as structure. They took out all the transmissions and all the old engines and all the old plumbing for the hydraulics and lubrication and replaced it all with stainless steel and aluminum tubing. It used to have a lot of flex lines in it, and so the old saying was when you fly Chinook, you needed a raincoat because it leaked continuously. The D model leaks very, very little. I started out in B models and flew predominantly C models before I got the D model transition, and it was truly, you flew with a raincoat. You got wet all the time. You had plastic on your seats in your car when you drove home because you were oil soaked and you didn't want to get your car messy. So the D model was a great thing for us to get because it doesn't leak. We love it.
So what do you usually fly? Is the one that you've flown here your regular machine?
No. As a matter of fact, Only when you go on a deployment where there's just barely enough pilots and crew members to crew an aircraft will you stick with the same aircraft. Generally, I'll fly a different aircraft every day. I usually get to fly 4, 5, 6 different aircraft a month. And it takes me about a year to go through the whole fleet because I pretty much stick with test flights and I work with that particular aircraft until everything that's wrong with it is fixed. And I certify the aircraft as being airworthy. And then I release it back to the operations folks. They'll fly it, and I'll move on to my next project.
So right when they get good, you have to give them up, huh?
Right. When they're perfect, I have to go back to another one that's generally broken and needs a lot of work.
So this is kind of an unusual mission for you then, these days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's difficult for a maintenance pilot to get away from home station because you are quite busy. You're actively involved with every little minute detail going on with the aircraft, and you're out there. Not so much supervising, but just overseeing the maintenance that's being done. Because we have other people to supervise the maintenance. But you take an interest in it because you know that you're about to pick it up. So you want some history on it, and you want to make sure that the way it's being fixed is the way it's supposed to be fixed.
So you flew 176 out here. Do you feel connected to its history and what it's done so far?
I feel connected to every Chinook. I feel... And as an extension of the aircraft when I go fly. You know, you become one with the machine, so to speak. If you do that, then you understand every little vibration, every little noise the helicopter makes. To the untrained eye, you really don't know it, but the Chinook has a very significant and different sound from any other aircraft out there. It's the only one of its kind that makes that kind of noise. It's very distinctive, as much as the Hueys of Vietnam era was. Nothing sounded like a Huey, and nothing sounds like a Chinook. But to go one step further, every Chinook has its own sound. And if you listen to them long enough, each one of them will tell you a different story.
Well, thank you very much for talking with me.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That's Chief Warrant Officer for Mark Morgan in the U.S. Army. And can you give us our website so folks can check it out?
Oh, sure. It's www.chinook-helicopter.com. Don't forget the dash, because if you just put Chinook Helicopter, that's a different website.
Okay.
KUAC's Libby Casey talked to Mark Morgan on the North Slope at the site of a scientific dig led by the University of Alaska Museum. Interviews from the project are airing on Alaska Edition this month.